answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Trump administration, in a memo to Congress yesterday, said that the U.S. now is engaged in a formal, quote, armed conflict with terrorist drug cartels. Now, the New York Times explains it a different way. The New York Times claims that the president is, quote, cementing his claim to extraordinary wartime powers in an armed conflict as defined by international law. A country can lawfully kill enemy fighters even when they pose no threat, detain them indefinitely without trials, and prosecute them in military courts. The White House is, of course, defending the move, saying, quote, the president acted in line with the law of armed conflict to protect our country from those trying to bring deadly poison to our shores. And he is delivering on his promise to take on the cartels and eliminate these national security threats from murdering more Americans.
Every American family who has lost a loved one due to fentanyl being brought into this country or being used to lace it with even something like marijuana, or has had a loved one killed by an illegal who has no driver's license or got a fraudulent license, or has decided to go chase down a woman jogging, pull her into the bushes and do what he wanted to with her and then kill her. Every American family who has lost someone like that, are you against Donald Trump doing everything he can to stop these drug cartels and these gang members from coming inside our country and continuing to spread their fear and their chaos and death? Well, as Maria Bartiromo pointed out, the New York Times says he's exceeding his authority. I guess they never had anyone in the New York Times victimized by one of these illegal gang members in our nation. Or if they did, what they do, they kind of pat them on the head and say, that's okay, it'll be better. If it happens to your family, that's not going to suffice. You want action. And we just hit another boat off the Venezuelan center, killing four. Our Department of War secretary said, yep, we took out another one. We tracked it. We realized what their cargo was. There's another speedboat leaving Venezuela. Cannot run us. And once you get into international waters, kaboom! Now, I know they're going to be saying, well, there might be people on board that were not really involved in that, that they were just on the boat. Yeah, could be. And there might be some on board that were being held as hostages and thinking maybe they won't attack us because we have children. They're learning from the terrorists in the Middle East. But if we document a boat leaving a foreign nation loaded with drugs, guns, and whatever that could end up on our shores, I say take them out now. Take them out. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. If you missed the first hour, shame on you. But I know you can't listen all the time. Therefore, we make it available for you to pull up later as a podcast. How do you get the podcast? Well, you go to Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And I'll remind you, at LarryConnorsUSA, you can subscribe, and we will send it directly to your email as soon as it's posted. That way you don't have to go look for it. You can just open it up. Make it easier for you. And get your family and friends to do the same. It costs you nothing. We do not sell your information to anyone. And we need minimal information. And, of course, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. Right this moment, if you go to Newstalk STL Rumble, open it up, you're going to see Larry Connors USA. Hey, how you doing? Ready for Friday? Absolutely. You can also watch it, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. and reminding you with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and an education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right this moment. I promise you that. You want to test me? Well, at the end of the hour, maybe we'll have a little test. See if you can pass. In fact, one of the things I'm going to tell you a little bit later this hour, there's been a development and a focus on a drug that might actually help those with spinal cord injuries walk again. Now, I do not want to hype that. I don't want you to go, you know, hallelujah, because it's early stages, but it is showing great progress on some of the cases they've been using. It may not, probably will not, work for everyone. But if you or you have a loved one who's been crippled due to some spinal injury, could this be an answer? Pray that it is. I'll give you more details later. In the meantime, the Supreme Court taking up a Second Amendment case. Yeah, that's right. Listen up, Second Amendment folks. That would be everyone listening, except the libs who are listening. But this will affect you as well. This case that the court decided to take up involves a challenge to the ban in Hawaii. Yeah, that's one of our states, you know. On carrying concealed weapons on private property without the owner's express consent. Three Hawaiian residents and a local gun rights group backed by the Trump administration asking the justices to review a lower ruling that upheld the state law. So in a brief today, the justices said the case will be heard in the upcoming term. You could have a decision by next summer. This marks the Supreme Court's latest case that will apply its expanded Second Amendment test it laid out in 2022, requiring gun control measures to be consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. There's a lot of words in there that you can move around and massage and make points of argument over. And that's what those who are against the Second Amendment will do. But it has already led the lower courts to strike down many gun regulations. But judges have been split on applying some aspects of the law. Last year, the court provided additional guidance by ruling a federal crime on gun possession for domestic abusers was constitutional. I agree. If you're convicted of a fine, a crime, a penalty, if you're a spouse abuser, a child pedophile, I don't want you to have a gun. You lose your Second Amendment rights if you're going to do stuff like that. Hawaii is one of several states that by default prohibits permit holders from carrying guns on private property that's open to the public, unless the property owner gives express consent by hanging a sign. You walk into some buildings, it's a privately owned building, no weapons, no guns. They've made it there, they posted it there. Casinos, another perfect example, you find that. You walk in there with a gun, you know what happens? If they realize you have one, they ask you to leave. If you don't leave, then they're going to charge you. Schools have them posted. And where do you think killers want to go to kill and wipe out innocent people without fear of being targeted back? Every place that has a sign that says, no guns allowed. If the Supreme Court takes this up, like dealing with Hawaii, that means despite what they post on their board, no guns, you'd be allowed to go in, carrying your weapon, even open carry in some cases. I don't advise doing open carry, only because it does, no pun intended, trigger some people. No sense startling people walking in so they can see your .45 Colt on your hip or whatever you got. Pretty hard to conceal that one, though. One thing we are doing right now with this administration is we are targeting those who probably have guns. They're among the gangsters and the thugs. And they also sometimes pose as Antifa. Well, we are making it clear under the President Trump administration, as Stephen Miller says, Antifa is clearly a terrorist organization.
Of course, the healthcare CEO was brutally gunned down by another self-described so-called anti-fascist that was then celebrated by other self-described anti-fascists, who, of course, are really communist revolutionaries. And the heartbreaking assassination of our dear friend Charlie Kirk while speaking at a college campus. Billions of dollars in property damage by Antifa and other far-left rioters. Organized criminal campaigns of doxing and violent intimidation. 1,000% increase in violent attacks on law enforcement. These are not isolated incidents. It is part of an organized campaign of domestic terrorism. It's sophisticated. It is well-funded. It is carefully orchestrated. And it's designed to prevent the lawful democratic process from occurring in this country through violent political means. And so President Trump took decisive action yesterday by formally declaring Antifa to be a domestic terror organization. And then as we speak, under President Trump's leadership and direction, we are working on a broader counterterrorism strategy to fight domestic terror in this country, to uproot, dismantle, defund, and destroy these terrorist networks inside the United States.
Great, great. And in fact, some were in play last night in Portland battling against ICE agents.
At least three people arrested overnight during a chaotic protest outside the Portland ICE facility.
Bill Malugin was on the scene as it unfolded, and he joins us now from Oregon with the latest. Bill.
Ainsley, good morning to you. I can tell you things got pretty heated out here at the Portland ICE building last night. We witnessed a violent fist fight that left a man knocked out. We saw the burning of American flag, the macing of protesters, and multiple clashes with federal agents. We'll get right into the video and show you what we witnessed. Take a look. This was last night, one of those clashes. Federal agents bull rushing and arresting a protester who had stepped onto federal property despite repeated warnings. There was another protester taunting the agents on a megaphone, asking them what the feds were going to do about it if they walked on their property. Well, that guy found out. There was another video we had of agents chasing down and arresting a separate protester, though it's unclear what this woman was detained for. Now, take a look at this. We also witnessed a violent fight. These two guys had been jawing at each other all night long. Then the fists started flying. The man in the white shirt was pro-ICE. The man in the black shirt, anti-ICE. He was the one who got laid out with a punch to the face. Minutes later, we saw him appear to collapse and go limp with some serious swelling to his face. Federal agents had to carry him inside their building for medical attention. But guys, there was no Portland police around to intervene during any of this. It's an issue the Portland ICE director told me has been an ongoing problem due to local politics.
Yeah, because they're telling their police, stand down. Do not take anything in any action that would help protect ICE agents. You know, while leftists want to blame Trump for the shutdown, they claim that they're really representing you, Americans who are being hurt. And in fact, when they're representing illegals who should not be getting your dollars, federal dollars. But the dirty little secret, also fighting Protect Special Pet Project, Energy Secretary Chris Wright.
This has been thousands of work hours to evaluate all of these projects. Just an incredible, irresponsible deployment of taxpayer money. I mean, should American taxpayers really fund decarbonizing Uber Eats in San Francisco or building e-bike lanes in Portlandia? $600 million to further subsidize construction of unreliable, expensive electricity sources in California? California can do what it wants, but the 49 other states' taxpayers shouldn't be subsidizing that.
And yet that's what they want to put. That's why they say we want that in this new bill. That's why Schumer is the one who shut down the government. We want all this in the bill. This is the same bill you voted for back in March, Schumer. But, of course, now you got to stand up to your left loony side and show that you could be strong. You're a fake puppet, papier-mâché. we do have Americans that have to be concerned about certain things, and in particular, what happens with our vets?
Can you just tell us what's happening at the VA this morning under a shutdown? There's a whole lot of people who work at the VA. How many are furloughed, and what is and isn't happening for veterans today?
Well, there's good news and bad news, John. I think from our perspective, the funding for the VA, for our hospitals, our benefits and disabilities are all continuing to function. We're on in a multi-year appropriation. So if you're a veteran out there and you have especially medical needs or you need to get to our hospital or clinics, they're open, they're running. Where it's going to be affecting us, especially in the short run, is our regional offices for disability claims. New claims are getting questions answered are going to be closed. Our counseling, our VR&E issues for people get their voc rehab, how they get into new careers. Those are going to be limited. Our outreach is going to be limited. As it goes further, there could be other things shut down, especially when it comes to getting questions on GI Bill, loan guarantees, those kind of things. But right now, we're sitting here watching a very sad situation in which our veterans across the country, not just at the VA, but are going to be affected by this. Many who work in the federal government, many who are affiliated with businesses who do business with the federal government. So I think that's the bigger issue we have with our veterans right now.
That's our VA Secretary Doug Collins pointing out that it's not really going to hurt those who need immediate care and are in facilities. But if you're trying to get a new application in or something like that because of the government shutdown, thank you, Chucky Schumer, there may be more delays and make it tougher for you. You can rail all you want against Trump, but this is, again, the same exact bill that Chuck Schumer agreed to back in March. But because it now, with this bill, they want to cut out money for public broadcasting, money for transsexual surgeries, Uber Eats, how much carbonization are they using, setting up bicycle paths, more electric stations to charge your car when they were woefully inadequate to begin with. That's what they want. But they will tell you the Republicans are taking money out of the mouths of babies. When you don't have the facts, push your lie best you can. And they're doing it, but we're not going to let it go by here, are we? Coming up, a new survey regarding your belief in news agencies. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John, Bill and I were talking. You said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I have a question for you. If you're driving, do not raise your hands, or at least raise only one. How many out there think that the, quote, legacy media lies to you on a continuous basis? Hand up. Only one if you're driving. Oh, my God, look at that. I felt a rush of air come to the studio. So many hands being raised across our listening audience, which is not only here, but wherever you are, if you have the News Talk STL app on your phone. Yeah, you can listen to us from anywhere. Well, there's a new survey out. This is according to Gallup, measuring trust in mass media, doing it for 50 years, and the American trust in media, mass media, just hit another record low. How low can we go? According to the latest report, Americans' confidence in the mass media has edged down to a new low with just 28% expressing a great deal or even a fair amount in trust in newspapers, TV, and radio to report news fully, accurately, and fairly. 28% dupes if they think they're getting accurate, fair reporting from all those sources on a consistent basis. Inside those sources, there will be some that will be true and fair and balanced. The last year, the survey showed 31%, so this is a 3% drop compared to last year. 5 years ago, it was 40%. When I was getting into this business, Walter Cronkite, of course, was considered the most trusted man in America. That was CBS News. Now, Walter Cronkite actually was liberal in several ways, but that did not show on the network broadcast at that time. And even 60 Minutes, when it started, even with Mike Wallace, it was very fair, determined, and pretty much standard. There would be slants and little things here and there, but you could trust it, generally speaking. We're at a point now where you can't really trust anyone. And that would include me. That's why I encourage you and I give you sources. Check me out. If you think I'm making it up or I'm lying to you, call me out. I have no issue with that. I could be making a mistake. It would be an unintentional mistake. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, period. This piece is written by Breitbart talking about this public confidence. If you base on what the readings have been and you look back to 1997, Rush Limbaugh had been broadcasting since the late 80s, and he spent a lot of his time explaining all the bias. Media trust remained just above 50% until it dropped to 44% in 2004 and has not risen to the majority since that time. And, of course, now we have the online alternative media coming alive, the blog, the citizen journalist. I'm not knocking them by that wording. It's just that their credentials might be suspect. And there was Rathergate, they point out, the scandal that did expose CBS 60 Minutes and Dan Rather. And the Democrat Party was quick to jump on it, rightly so. But right now, the regime media continues to push this stuff. You want examples? Oh, I got some. I'm glad you asked. You saw recently a photo of a Gaza baby starving. Bones. It was a hoax. The child had a disease. Now, granted, they don't get a lot of food, as nutritious as they should anyway, in Gaza. That's because Hamas is keeping it from the citizens of Gaza. But the baby was not starving to death. The baby had a medical issue that needed to be treated. How about this? Trump tariffs will explode prices. Hasn't exploded prices. Have we had some go up? Yep. Some fall off? Yep. How about when they were promoting black newborns, they're much more likely to die if the doctor is white? Where's the basis for that? That's right. You don't need any facts. How about Elon Musk Nazi salute hoax? They catch him in one photo, he's raising his hand of folks, and they make it's a Nazi salute hoax. How about the one you know really firsthand? Hands up, don't shoot. The Michael Brown story. That was a lie from the beginning, and it continues to this day. And members of the Rams team, when they were here in St. Louis, came out on the field one time. Hands up, don't shoot. And then don't forget Jussie Smollett and his hoax. Well, I got attacked by two white men in Chicago in the middle of the night when I went to go get a sandwich. They put a rope around my neck. They're going to hang me and say, we don't like your kind here. We're from MAGA country, and you're not here. You're a black man. And he calls police. And he's still got the rope around his neck, which is really a Venetian blind cord. Still around his neck when they arrive. Don't you think he would have taken that off? It was a hoax. He got charged with it. Now there's a Netflix special, The Truth About Jussie. I could care less. How about Joe Biden will never ban gas stoves? Yep, he wanted to do it. How about Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation hoax? They're all lies, but they were published and promoted over and over again in the legacy media as fact. But they were really under another word that begins with an F, fiction. I do want to share this with you. This is a story of a phase two trial with eligible patients regarding spinal cord injuries. Again, I'm not wanting to sell you any false hope for anyone. But there's a man in Pennsylvania that's been sharing his story. He was 58 years old, mountain biking, hit a tree and instantly broke his C4 to 6 vertebra. In his cervical spine. Underwent surgery, paralyzed for 2 weeks. Body began to wake up and could move a little bit, but couldn't really do well. He kept stumbling around everything. He understood there was a trial underway for NVG-291. NVG-291. And he said, I want to be part of that trial. So for 3 months, back in April, he started receiving a daily injection, followed by 1 hour of physical therapy. At the end of all that time, he was able to walk 30 feet, balanced with a walker, in 15 seconds where it would normally take him 45. He's swimming now. He said, I really haven't been practicing and continuing, but I am seeing small improvements that continue to happen. He said, I have continued to improve my walking ability. I can swim laps in the pool. He said, I reached out to other people with the same injury, and it seems like a lot of them, after years and years of therapy, might get to where I am, So I've kind of been given a shortcut. I'd love to get back the life I had before, fully independent. He's not there yet, but he's moving closer, and he's doing it at a rapid pace with this drug. He says, using this experimental drug, I'm able to perform physical tasks easily and quickly. Movement in my leg seems to be a bit smoother, less restricted. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing and trying. Well, a doctor that was interviewed by Fox News for this story pointed out that they have done this previously with animals. They have displayed improved local motion for different ways. But again, we're still in a trial stage. This drug is a peptide, and I'm not saying this because I'm a scientist. I'm reading this. It's a peptide, which is a small protein that works like a roadblock remover. After a spinal cord injury, the body sends out signals that tell nerve fibers to stop growing. This drug apparently blocks those signals, allowing the nerves to have a better chance to regrow. So if it can block signals that you're not supposed to have nerves happen or ending there, it's doing an effective job. How great it would be for everyone with a spinal cord injury to be able to stand up and walk as they chose. Even if they had to use a walker, it at least would be an improvement to get out of the wheelchair, get out of the bed. I pray for things like that for people. I've been blessed in my family. No one has been crippled up like that, but you never know, a car wreck around the corner or a fall off your bicycle could lead to something. So we continue to keep that in our prayers for those who need it now and in the future. Coming up, the issue with trying to get more money and health benefits that are due you, but get them to illegals. Yeah, they're still pushing. That's the whole story behind the current government shutdown.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous.
She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Democrats are demanding free health care for illegal aliens. Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries have been clear. They will not fund law enforcement. They will not fund the military. They will not fund public safety. They will not fund the operations of the federal government that your tax dollars pay for unless they get free health care for illegal aliens. That is the biggest losing message and the biggest losing argument in American history. We will see if there's enough Democrat senators who are dumb enough to follow Chuck Schumer off the edge of that cliff.
That is Stephen Miller from the White House talking about how the Democrats are holding out. When the vote came the other day, you needed 60 votes to continue the continuing resolution and keep the government from a shutdown. Three Democrats crossed the aisle to join with the Republicans, but they still could only muster 55 votes to 45. So that's where we are now. But I want to tell you about some Democrats, five likely Democrats who could end up deciding, you know, I can't stand out here. Midterm elections coming up. If my people are hurting and they're going to blame us, the Democrat Party, for this, I need to get back in there and say, okay, let's open everything up again. And the pressure is building on them. I'll lay that out for you in a moment. But when you listen to Stephen Miller, he's talking about these Democrats that have just bought into the fact that they got to support Chuck Schumer and the rest of the loonies, and loonies would describe them perfectly. Chuck himself actually would be a mark or two above them, but he's trying to act like one of them because he's going to need their votes in 2028 to remain in the Senate. And it's already been made clear to him, you know, if you don't show you're going to be lefty enough, then we will get AOC, someone like her, to primary you and wipe you out of office after 45 years in Congress. That is shaking him to his core. So he's got to put up the front. But he's also showing he's got a yellow stripe down his back. Interior Secretary Burgum says the government has been shut down for purely political purposes by the Democrats.
Americans need to know the House has already passed a continuing resolution. There are no changes to the federal budget on the line. If people want to negotiate, they can do that while the government's running as opposed to when it's shut down. And Americans need to know this Democrat shutdown, this Schumer shutdown, for an agency like Interior, where we've got tens of thousands of people across the country, we're now doing everything we can to try to keep our parks open. We can't use any appropriated funds during a time like this. So we've got to be very creative about legally finding ways to pay people and do that. Our first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, all the things that we're doing to keep the essential services going. This just distracts us from advancing and moving things forward for the American people. You would never run a business this way. This is 100% politics.
And that's why a lot of lefties do not run businesses, because they would bankrupt it immediately unless you're going to help support them. And I don't mean by buying their product, but by gifting them money. Bergen's making it very clear. He said the House has already passed a bill saying we're going to keep funding exactly the way it is right now. The same bill Chuck Schumer voted for back in March. But we are going to go ahead and make sure we cut all the extra, like $1 trillion, from various programs like DEI transitioning, surgery, puberty blockers, giving money to the Public Broadcasting Corporation. Hey. Every time they bring that up, stand up for me and say, Larry Connors, USA, wants some of that too. No, I'm supported by sponsors who love the program, and they want to reach your ears. So that's why I always encourage you. You might not need, like with the John Beale, you might not need a roof today or McGuire Moving. You're not moving today. But when you do, keep in mind who's supporting this program and make sure you give them your business. And, of course, always I encourage you sometimes just pick up the phone and call some of my sponsors and thank them for keeping this program on the air. And I mean that. I'd mentioned five Democrats that might be on the line to step back across and join and make up the five votes are missing to get to 60. This is put together by Breitbart. Again, that's the source I'm quoting you. And I don't know how accurate it is, but it's their discussion after talking to numerous members of Congress. And they think that these could be the ones that would help make things happen. The three that did walk across the line earlier, Democrat Nevada Representative Masto, Independent Michigan Angus King, and Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. But here are five more that would make it 60, which would be the threshold. Senator Jeanine Shaheen, Democrat, New Hampshire. 78-year-old former New Hampshire governor. She voted no, on the CR this last week. But again, she voted for the same exact thing back in March. What's she thinking right now? Well, hopefully we can get back to the negotiating table. I'm eager to work with my Republican colleagues to find a common ground. That means you are willing to cast a vote to put us back in, quote, operation. And she's not seeking re-election in March, so she'd be doing it to make sure that she's helping the nation. Again, that's New Hampshire Senator Jeanine Shaheen. Then you have Michigan Democrat Senator Gary Peters. He's already announced he's not going to seek re-election. But according to The Hill and others, he is among the more preeminent Democrats that Republicans hope they can flip. Then you got New Hampshire Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan. She's considered by Newsweek even as a moderate. So she's very likely to move closer to the Republican side. And then you got Arizona Senator Ruben Gallego. Gallego is viewed as a potential key vote, representing a state won by Donald Trump last November. And then you got Senator John Ossoff, Democrat, Georgia. He did vote no on the March CR and the one this Tuesday. But he says, I am willing to work with Trump and Republicans to reopen the federal government. And he is facing re-election next year. That means you better really consider your next steps. You're going to find yourself outside the Senate doors. If those five would step across the line and join with the other three Democrats that have already gone with the Republicans, that would give us a 60-vote margin for, quote, the Schumer shutdown to be shut down. Will they do it? It's going to be partly a matter of time. This weekend could begin to budge the needle a little bit. But I'll tell you right now, the attitude of many, and it's typical as you would expect from some of the sources like Politico, Trump is using this opportunity to use the shutdown as a weapon against blue America. We were talking about that earlier in the previous hour. He's looking to target the blue states, blue cities, blue counties that didn't vote for him. make them pay, take money away from them right away. Now, he has said, I didn't really want this. Did he believe that and mean it? Or just decided, but if you give it to me, I'll take it. I don't really want this gold Rolex watch, but if you give it to me, I guess I'll take it. And these guys out there, they're trying to figure out, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I think you need to come back and get real. You serve the American public. You do not serve the left wing of the Democrat Party. And even many Democrats do not serve that left wing. They're threatened by them, and they fear them, but they don't serve them. Except for right now, they are. Grow a backbone. Stand up and say, I don't need to be led around with a nose ring by the leftists. I can make my own decisions. Unless you're not capable of doing so. If not, well, then you fit perfectly with them. You're one of them, and they love it. Could be this time next week. We won't even be discussing a shutdown. We'll say it's all over, been done. That'd be great. But every day, the pressure increases. Watch the temperature begin to go up. And the knees begin to shake more. Numerous federal agencies and employees affected by the Schumer shutdown, that would include IRS employees, don't really take glee, by the way, in the fact that IRS employees are suffering. They are, for the most part, just like you, an American citizen, doing their assigned job.
The American people, the American taxpayers, the American workers, government workers need to be put first. And I think America's tired of that. They have families, they have children, they have elderly parents, they have financial commitments, mortgages, rent, car notes, and on and on and on. And it is unfair, acceptable for government workers to be held at bay, not allowed to do their job. We want to work. Put us back to work. Open this government up.
That is an IRS employee. Now, I know you don't like the IRS or anything, but it's got to be done, and we need to have it done properly. We don't need them to be used as a weapon against Americans, as we did during the Obama administration and Biden. But that's a guy. He's got a family, a mortgage, and home, just like you. Your neighbor next to you, they work at a different company or place than you do. The one on the across the street, same thing. If suddenly their business is shut down, would you not care about them and their children? Of course you would. I don't take any glee on anyone losing their job, especially if they want to work and provide for their family. So this IRS employee is like any other member of our government. Now, I will say this, and you understand it, that these that are, quote, furloughed during this time, when they come back to work, they'll get that back pay retroactive. Well, that's fine for whenever it ends. But if you got a mortgage payment and you miss, if it goes so far as to miss two payments, maybe you're facing jeopardy losing your house then. My real concern, and I think needs to be hammered out in future negotiations, if there is a government shutdown. Not all government employees, but military and even in police and fire needs and so forth, things of that nature, they still get paid. First responders get paid, military getting paid. I want that to continue. Might encourage more folks to step into those roles to help our nation. All right, class, we're at the end of this week's session. It's been filled with a lot of material. If you've been taking notes, your notebook is full. I know mine is. And I've still got, I'm looking over here, I'm seeing a dozen pages of material I didn't even get to today. But as I told you, at Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. So, class, what did you learn this hour you didn't know before we began this hour, or the preceding hour, or the hour anytime this last week? And if you missed a class, unless you have a doctor's note, you need to pull up the podcast and listen. And when you do, please push share. Send it to others. Get them enrolled in our class. You'll make a lot of good friends. You could make some enemies, I'll be honest with you. But so be it, okay? As always, I do appreciate your support. Spread the word. You are our multiplying factor. Class is out until next Monday, 6 p.m. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.